Let's get this party started.
Oh, I love to party. I'm having a
party. More of a party atmosphere. A
party for two. Oh, we're having a big party.
And joining me at the party table today is the host of News Talk Tonight, weekdays from 7 to 10, Jim Richards. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
I understand, even though we had a bit of a different docket here, that you've been listening and you might have some thoughts on a couple of things I was talking about. So if you see, as I did in the Hamilton Spectator, a story about an elderly woman, she has a stroke, she's 93 years old, and a medical professional says, have you considered medical assistance in dying? How do you react to that?
I think if I was in the family, I would be outraged. But, you know, I think it speaks more to our system right now. I mean, hey, you can't stay here in the hospital, but you can go to a home that you don't want to go to that is within 70 kilometers of where you live. That seems a little outrageous. And I get your point about the doctor. We need to know what the doctor's doing. Like, should the doctor, how often is the doctor doing this? But from one standpoint, I'm just like, okay, is the medical community going like, okay, we got a mess here for this poor woman, man. Just keep in mind that this is an option. Like, it, as bad as it is, our system is so screwed up right now that maybe this is an option. Did you guys think of this? But the fact that we would have to say that this to a 93-year-old woman, like, what is the value that we put on life? Like, do we honestly think of life as a car that is, you know, got so many miles on it? Like, we clearly do judge life later in years differently than we would judge it in its prime. Like, it's not a black and white thing. We do that as a society. That's why we all pretend that we're outraged whenever there's a story about how people are actually treated in an old folks home.
Well, you don't have to convince me that the Canadian healthcare system is broken, and you have to convince too many Canadians, unfortunately. But whatever the problem is, the solution is not, hey, let's just kill the expensive people.
Yeah, well said. I do think that is, you know, overall you're right, but I'm not as outraged that somebody would do it given the reality that they probably see every day going through the hospital of people who are kind of screwed by what the system has become.
Well, I don't know. If some of this stuff keeps happening, I'm not going to make it to 93. I don't think I'll be, you know what, I'm going to not even make it to 70 like Matthews.
Yeah, you're going, yeah, exactly. You're going to, well, listen, if I get stuck in the intersection again, I'll probably be 95 by the time the thing clears.
Okay, so I said, and I was particularly going after the intersection of Front and Spadina. I think from now on, if you block the box at Front and Spadina, the ticket should be $7,000.
I don't blame you, and I agree. I don't know why it isn't. Like, why you would even get into the... Somebody said to me the other day, it could be a mistake. No, yeah, you could be a mistake, too.
It's not a mistake. You don't get into the intersection unless it's cleared. How could you... Well, I thought it was going to clear. Well, no, you don't do that.
I don't think they're doing a very good job. I agree with you. They're not doing a very good job of, like, coming up with these rules and having nobody enforce them. It doesn't matter. Half of these people are probably from out of town and it's their first time in Toronto, and I don't want their experience to be awful. But yes, slam them with a ticket. They need to get a ticket, and it needs to be enforced. I turned into a traffic Karen the other day when somebody with the logo and the phone number on the side of their truck got stuck in the intersection, and the light turned twice, and I ended up calling the number, and I said, hey, do you know who drives truck 3525 with your logo on the side of it? And could you tell them maybe to learn the rules of the road?
What did they say to you?
They're like, I think we know who that is. We'll talk to them.
Okay. You don't have to convince us. We know which idiot that works for us did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the Daily Hive has photographs of something I haven't actually seen, but maybe they'll start popping up more and I'll see them. But I see a photograph of it here. And it's a poster people are putting up. The first annual Steal from Loblaws Day, May the 12th. Okay, I want to hear your opinion first.
Is Jugmeet Singh's logo on it, or is he, I think it's really brutal. I really, really do. And I'm also like, people probably are angry with me for not being sympathetic to making Loblaws the punching bag. All of these grocery chains are making a profit of 3 or 4%. Some of them more because they have a bank attached to it. But all of the supply chain experts and economists would tell us that there is no gouging. That's not to say that things aren't really, really expensive right now. They are, but to take things into your own hands, I wonder if there's a charge for whoever came up with this idea, because I think it's pretty gross.
Well, by the way, if the grocery stores, Jim, are making a 3 or 4% profit margin, that's up from where groceries used to be. But keep in mind that almost everybody else you do business with has a higher profit margin.
Yeah, 100%.
No, your bank, for instance. It used to be the business you and I are in.
I'm okay about going after banks, by the way, but go ahead.
Okay, used to be the business you and I are in, although that's gotten a little tougher to draw profit, but due to a variety of factors. But, you know, the grocery stores are actually, if you cut the grocery store's profit margin by half, because Jugmeet Singh said it was excess profit, you'd be saving a couple of pennies on every dollar of your groceries, and you might not notice that as much as you think.
Like it's not going to get passed along to the consumer. It's just ridiculous.
Parks Canada removes the trash bins along the Sheen Canal to spur citizen responsibility. Yeah, we'll make it less convenient for you to put garbage somewhere, so therefore you'll just put it in your pocket and take it home. It doesn't work that way.
I saw this story yesterday, and I just could not believe it, because this is like, I don't know if it's a conservation area. It's in Montreal, and it is a beautiful stretch of 16 kilometers where festivals and people go to picnic or have lunch or maybe a couple of drinks in the park, as crazy as that might sound, because Montreal is more civilized than we are. But it just, I have no example in my life of going on a hike or going to a conservation area that says that the lack of garbage cans has inspired any civic responsibility. There's a place where I live called Tommy Thompson Park, and I'll go down for a bike ride or whatever. I end up coming home with a backpack full of beer cans and Tim Hortons wrappers. I don't think this inspires civic responsibility, getting rid of garbage cans. It sounds dumb.
Are you picking that stuff up on behalf of the community, or are you down a lot of beer and Tim Hortons stuff?
No. Well, yeah, this back when I did drink. No, I might have cracked a couple of cans in that conservation area, but I'd bring them back. But what I'm finding is tons of beer cans and coffee cups and that sort of thing. And I just find it heartbreaking. You can find deer and all sorts of wildlife in that park, and to leave that stuff behind is kind of gross.
And whenever this topic comes up, there's an image in my mind of, and I can't even remember where I was living at the time, if it was here or someplace else. It's just the image that stays with me. I saw a guy walk out of a Subway sandwich shop, and this isn't Subway's fault, by the way. He walked out of the Subway shop, and he unwrapped the sandwich as he was walking, and then he gripped the sandwich and he started to eat it, and he didn't throw the paper away, Jim. He was so lazy, he let gravity just take the paper down onto the sidewalk, and he kept on going.
Yeah, that's funny. Do you think saying, hey, we're trying to inspire civic responsibility is the same as saying, hey, we're just too lazy to clean out the garbage bins? Like, I honestly think, like, hey, we don't send people around. They complain that these things aren't cleaned out. Let's just get rid of them.
All right. This next topic, you and I have a minute or so here, and then I'm going to take it up with listeners. But the Toronto Waterfront Marathon coming up in October is now going to be a two-day event. And, you know, Donnie had said to me this morning, and I think he's 100% right, all these years it's been a one-day event. Why does it need to be a two-day event? You're locking up traffic in the city for one day already. I'm not in agreement with this.
It could be a three-day event, Jerry. If me and you were running it, we would make some stops along the way, have a sleep. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Listen, well, let's try. I mean, like, can we come up with more reasons to have traffic in this city? It's like somebody sat down and goes, can we make it worse?
Can any ideas? Hold my beer. Let's make the marathon 2 days. What about 3 days now? Let's not go crazy.
All right. So they've decided they're going to move the 5K to the day before and, you know, bung up traffic even more. So I'll take that up with listeners coming up in a moment. But Jim Richards is back with you 7 o'clock this evening. Thanks very much.
Thank you.